You know, Christians are not perfect, but we are forgiven. And I was reading through my notes, and it says with Moses it was murder. With Elijah it was deep depression. With Peter it was public denial. Samson it was a reoccurring lust. Thomas it was cynical doubting. With Jacob it was deception. With Rahab it was prostitution. And you know, it goes on and on in the Bible. The Bible, there's not anything that's happened to any of us that we cannot go back to the scriptures and say there's somebody that has gone through what we've gone through. And I want to, what excites me about these few minutes together that we come apart once every 2 years or whatever you do, is that we can encourage one another. And I'm here to tell you that you can make it. Some of you have told me in confidence that, you know, it could be your parents. I'm having trouble with my parents. I'm having trouble with my husband. I'm having trouble with what? All of us go through times that we think, goodness, doesn't anybody like me? Y'all ever had that? Does anybody like me? Can I get along with anybody? Have you ever had that day? I had that day Wednesday. I mean, it's just everything went wrong. The cleaners lost a suit. It was just on and on and on, you know. And it seemed like everything, they did something wrong, and I felt guilty. Have y'all ever done that? They turned it around where I thought I had done something wrong, and they were the ones that messed up my suit. They were the one that lost it. Then something else happened, something else happened, something else happened. Well, I want to tell you something. There's some things that you need to learn as you go along, and sometimes you're not going to remember all this information. I was going to do one of two things this morning. I was going to give you encouraging truths, or I was going to tell you how to get along with difficult people. But with talking with all of you and reading your prayer request, I think getting along with difficult people is one thing that we all have trouble doing. Now, first of all, I want to tell you something. You don't have to like people to work with them. I told you that about unconditional love. Isn't that a revelation? You do not have to like people to work with them. You don't have to like them to raise them even. Now, isn't that a revelation? You thought you had to like your kids and husbands and everything they do. That not, as baby says, not. You don't have to. Now, who is difficult? That is someone who consistently acts sneaky, hostile, negative, and unresponsive to others' needs. But let me tell you, when somebody is sneaky to us and they act snide, what do we do, ladies? We take everything personally, right? That's one of our greatest strengths, but can become our greatest weakness, and we take too many things personally. Men let it roll off their backs, and they just kind of laugh at it. Herschel said, I think that's funny, and my feelings will be so hurt. He said, I think it's funny. I said, funny? He said, yeah, you got the hammer. And, you know, I don't always understand that. Yeah, that's another speech. Okay. Because, and I'm going to have to use my notes because there's so much information in this. Because someone rubs you the wrong way does not mean he or she is a difficult person. That just means you're going to have 2% of every population is not going to like you. Okay? 2% of every audience, they say, is waiting to be offended. 2% of your problems in school, 2% of your kids make 98% of your trouble. So forget that. Everybody's not going to like you. But it doesn't mean they're difficult. Perhaps your personalities just clash. But doesn't the Bible teach us that we must get along with everyone? It does tell us that we are to love everyone. It does not say you have to like everyone. And I told you earlier, it commands that we love one another. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Do the best you can to get along with everyone. But also realize that once in a while, you're going to have a relationship with a difficult person, and it's going to fall short of being ideal, okay? So our trouble is accepting the fact. Someone said earlier, see, as we as women, we want to fix everything. And we get frustrated because we can't fix everybody. And I mentioned earlier, I want to tell you something, we even get frustrated because we can't change people. Y'all ever try to change somebody? How many of you have ever tried to change yourself and you had a little trouble with it? See, I have trouble with myself. So I don't need to work on anybody else. We just, you know, it's, we ought to just look in sometimes and not look so much outward. Now, there are 8 types of people, difficult people. I added 3 more this morning, about 4 o'clock. But there's a little boy that went in one day at night and said, Daddy, Daddy, would you throw the ball for me? And the father said, oh, son, I have so much work to do. And in my briefcase, I've got to get this contract. Son, let me work for a little while longer. And you know how little 4-year-olds are. They keep coming up, Daddy, Daddy, would you play ball with me? Daddy, Daddy, would you do it? So finally, he saw a newspaper there with a picture of the world. So he took the newspaper and he just tore it in pieces. And he gave it to the son. He said, go in the next room. I want you to put this back together because it was the world. And he said, when you get this together, I'll play ball with you. In about 5 minutes, the little boy came back. And he had it put together. And he said, how did you put that piece of paper back together so quickly. He said, well, Daddy, on the other side of the world was a picture of a man. When you put the man together, the world's together. So many times we think everybody else, but what we need to work on is ourselves. You're not going to change other people. You cannot control other people. Some things are just a done deal, and we have trouble doing that. Just accepting this as a done deal and kind of cut it loose and going down the road. That's hard to do. It's easy to say, but it's very difficult to do. Now, the first type I'm going to share with you is called the Sherman tank. Some of you probably know the Sherman tank. If you allow the Sherman tank to run over you, you will be angry with yourself. The Sherman tank only respects the person who has the courage and audacity to stand up for himself. Often hostile, thinks expert on everything and anything. They're usually aggressive, they're pushy, they're manipulative, and they'll push you around and make you think you're a crook. Y'all know some people like that. Let me tell you what, I'm going to tell you something. Children do this to us sometimes. They try to just run over us. Y'all know people like that. Someone shared with me yesterday, said, I have a parent that's doing this to me. And I want to tell you something, they do not respect you if other people just keep continually running over you. The principle in this is to stand up for yourself. If you know something is right, now be sure that it's vertically right, okay? Be sure it's right biblically and with the Lord. See, we want to live horizontally, but we cannot. We have to live vertically. And if you know something's right, for goodness sake, stand up on your own two feet. The second type is a space cadet. They're from a different planet. You can talk about until you're blue in the face, but he doesn't hear you. I mean, it's kind of like, hello out there, hello. You're not going to receive emotional response from this person. This person lives in its own world. Some of you know somebody like that. Now, the principle is accept him as a being from a different planet. Now, there's a lot to the either one of these. I could stand here all day and tell you this, but this is just some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that just to think about, because this will ring some bells with some of you. To accept the space cadet means recognizing that he has or they have always been like that, and no matter what you do or say, they're still going to be like that. You're not responsible for another's actions and attitudes anyway. The number three is the volcano. They're either exploding or building up steam. Some of you know about that. Or they're getting ready to explode. You know something about that? They're just ready any minute. Just anything, just off. Wherever they are, they generate a feeling of tension. All right? What do? Stand there and listen. Listen to this. This is profound, okay? You stand there and listen. You listen for a long time without saying a word except to agree with that person what they're saying. Just agree with them. Give them time to run down. Don't get in a stinking fight with a skunk. So many times, have y'all ever done that? They'll say something, you'll say something, they'll say something, you'll say something, and just gets louder and louder and bigger, and before you know it, you know, and after all, they're wrong. Everybody knows that. They are wrong. Now, give them time to run down, and when they've gotten it pretty well out, ask them to tell you the story one more time so that you can understand it. Or say, you know, I'm not sure that I understand what you're saying. Would you mind repeating that? And I want to tell you something. When they say it the second time, they're going to calm down. They're not going to say it. Sometimes they just need to let off steam, all right? A volcano. The principle is Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer turneth away wrath. That's hard to do. Sometimes the Bible gives us some things that's kind of hard to do. Now, the next one is the spoiler. They complain chronically. No matter what happens, the spoiler still grumbles and acts negative. You cannot satisfy the spoiler because he never feels satisfied with himself. Have you ever had anybody that said, well, that was a good program at the church, but they could have cut it off 15 minutes early and I'd have been happy. Y'all ever heard that? Or, why'd they spend so much money on those real flowers? Didn't they know that they're going to die? Y'all ever heard anybody like that? Or, I like that sermon, but, you know, shouldn't have said what they said. I call those yeah, but people. Yeah, but, no matter how. And someone just earlier today said, what do you do with the person that's always like that? Well, I want to tell you something. Those kind of people I want to stay away from, first of all. I want to spend as little time with them as I can. But just try to think and try to find the good in life. Be a good finder, not a fault finder. And I want to tell you something. With my children, I have never let my children complain, whine. My children, none of them whine, and I'll tell you why. When they were little, I told them, when they started whining, I said, there's one of two things. You're either hungry or you're sick. Or you're tired. Now, if you're sick, we'll take you to the doctor. If you're hungry, I'll feed you. And if you're tired, you're going to go to bed. I will not listen to that. Let me tell you, how many of you have children? How many of you have small children under, like, it's still at home? Okay, quite a few of you. One, I think one of the smartest things I ever did was my children one day when I had it with them. Y'all know where I'm talking about? Just had it. I said, be at my table tonight at 6 o'clock. I am going to tell y'all something. And I had to put it till 6 because I didn't know what I was going to do, so I had to have all day to think up something. They came in there, the eyes were big. I'd just taken them on the first vacation I ever had to Colorado. And I did a stupid thing. I tried to snow ski. I cannot snow ski. There's nothing about me goes down the mountain at the same time. I took 6 beginning lessons and I still cannot stand up and wave at the same time. It's terrible. But anyway, we sat there and I said, children, and I was mad because I had finally gotten to take my kids, and I guess I thought that was going to solve the problems for the next year. You'd think so, as hard as I worked to take them on a vacation and as sore as I was. Well, you know, I was just mad probably. But anyway, I said, children, I said, Patty, did you ask to be born? She said, no, ma'am. Brian, did you ask to be born? No, ma'am. And I said, Jennifer, did you ask to be born? She said, no, ma'am. I said, am I correct to assume then that you were invited? Yes, ma'am, I guess so. I said, Patty, have you ever made a house payment? She said, no, I didn't know we had one. Well, I said, we do. We have a house payment, babe. This house is not paid for. I have about 40 more years, but it's not paid for. Brian, have you ever made a house payment? He said, no, ma'am, I didn't know we had one. I said, Jennifer, have you ever made a house payment? No, ma'am, I didn't know we had one. I said, am I correct to assume that you're an invited guest living in somebody else's house? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, see, you're an invited guest, so why don't you act like it? Now, I want to tell you something. I've thought about that a lot of times since I said that day. But you know what? They ought to act like it, and I ought to treat them that way. How are you treating your family? We don't treat our family a lot of times like people. We think they can't hear and see. I think that's why people want to know from my children, is your mama like that? Or they ask my staff, is she like that? Is she really like that? Let me tell you something. The thing that would hurt me the most if anybody ever said, you know the thing I like about Mammy McCullough? Now, I know I'm fake on the outside, but is that she, if they say she's not real, because I am real. I try very hard to be real. And I think when you're real is when you walk the talk. Now, I fall short just like everybody else does. And if you watch me close enough, you're going to see my faults and my mistakes. The group of ladies I stayed with this weekend knows my mistakes, you know, how I look and all that. They know what I start with every day. But remember this, that, and this one is a spoiler type 4, is that the principle here is choose and cultivate your own positive mental attitude. Don't let somebody else decide what kind of day you're going to have. I decided last night that today when I got up, I was going to have the best day of my life. And today, I want to tell you something. So far, I've had the best day of my life. And it is an attitude. Life is an attitude. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Is that scriptural? Yes. That's scriptural. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. That's in Philippians. I want to tell you something. Think on these good things. So many times we want to think on the bad things, and no wonder our mind is like garbage, because that's what we put in it. Garbage in, garbage out. The wet blanket. Some of you know about this person. They're the negative Neds and the negative Nellies of the world. The wet blanket, they're the classic impossibility thinker. No matter what's proposed, the automatic response, it can't be done that way. It doesn't work. It's never worked that way, and we're not going to do it that way. It's impossible. Y'all know somebody like that? Don't put those kind of people on a board of a church. Don't get on a board with them. It will never work. Don't expect them to ever support a great idea. They will never agree with anyone. And I want to tell you the principle in this type of wet blanket is be a possibility thinker. Don't let them decide how you're going to think. Type 6 is the garbage collector. They're actually worse off than the spoiler in the wet blanket because they're locked even deeper into the mire of the negative. Their weapons are rocks hidden in snowballs. They have innuendos. Do y'all know somebody like that? They make remarks that are not too subtle. They can't make digs. They do non-playful teasing and the like. How many of y'all know somebody like that? I'd rather for somebody to say, you look like the Dickens, than to make a snide remark or underhanded. I'd rather people to come at me face to face and say, I don't think you ought to wear orange with red. I don't care what you think. I'm going to wear anything I want to. I'm over 50. It was on sale. That's why I bought it. Nobody else would buy it, so I bought it and wore it. But this person is actually, they're basically cowards. The garbage collector are basically cowards. They fear confronting their ill feelings and telling other people face to face what they really think. The strategy is to confront them in front of other mature people with what they have been implying or saying behind your back. It says that if you have a conflict with someone, you go to them by yourself. And I believe this is right. Judy's my spiritual. And then if it doesn't work, you get a witness. Is that what it says? I think that's what it says somewhere. But anyway, we know people like that. You need to confront, care enough to confront. These people are non-confronters. They won't confront you and say it just outright. They do it underhanded in the back. And I think you ought to ask them, is this how you feel? Is this what you meant to say? Or do you believe this or don't you? I'll tell you, these people are the big gossips too. You know them. I want to tell you something about gossip. And I think I said it in my breakout yesterday that to me, Judgment Day is going to be when St. Peter lined up everybody we'd ever talked about and made us say it to their face. That makes me uncomfortable. Don't ever say anything to anyone. Don't ever tell anyone a problem cannot help you solve it. If you have a problem with the pastor's wife, go to the pastor's wife. Don't tell anybody else. If you have a problem with your child, go to them. Don't go to anybody else. I think a lot of our problems could be solved if we went to the people and confronted them directly. Some of you are here with problems that you need to confront directly. You need to sit at their face, create an atmosphere where you can get before those people and say, I need some understanding on this. Can you help me understand how you feel? Hardest thing, and folks, I've had to do it in my life. I'm not just saying to you to do it. I've had to do it, and it's always uncomfortable. And sometimes they go make you feel like the dirty dog, but sometimes you got to do it. The other one is the user. They're the alcoholics and the drug addicts, the gambling addicts, emotionally dependent and spoiled children. They're manipulators. Be firm in the application of tough love principle. Sometimes, folks, you do all you can do, and that's all you can do. The seventh is you got to set the limits. My kids sometimes come in from college. You know, they stay up all night at college. I don't know why they think you do that. But Patty went off to college. She came back from A&M. And she was staying up to 2 and 3 in the morning. I said, not my house. You know the rule, Patty. Everybody's in bed by 12. She said, but Mama, I'm out on my own. I said, if you're out on your own, who pays your bills? She said, well, Mother, you pay them. And I said, you're not only on your own. When you pay for your bills, then you just use your rules. And this is my house, and you're going to go by my rules. You don't have to like it, baby, but you're going to go by my rules. Then when you tell somebody something like that, I always smile. Now, baby, you're going to go by my rules. Is that all right? You know, no money, no rules. All right, number 8, the emotionally handicapped. They've been so deeply wounded emotionally that they have developed a handicap when it comes to relating to others. They may ignore others or go to the other's extreme and attack. You may find that when you are loving and kind, they just don't respond. They need healing. There's a lot of people around us. We were talking about these wonderful friends that I'm with this weekend. There's a big need for healing. And God's going to use me at some point in time, ladies, to help ladies heal, because I don't think we know how to heal. I think we don't know how to turn things loose. And I'm praying about that. There needs to be a cleansing and there needs to be a healing. And I don't know how to do it, but God's opening up some things to me. In Luke 10, in the response to the question, who is thy neighbor? Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. God's principle concerning the emotional handicapped is, I had that sheet, y'all. It's not here. The principle is this. I'll come back to it. I'll find it somewhere. Be compassionate and loving to the emotionally wounded, and you will see miracles of healing. We have a hunger to heal. Never bring up bad situations. You have some people that every time y'all get together, they start bringing up the garbage. Don't let them do that. Now, I want you to counterattack with positive actions. Positive actions. Now, here's some things. And I think E.B. Hill was right when he said, this ain't it. This ain't it, folks. One day this is going to be over. But I want to tell you, I did come up with three other people that I think that you might know about. The Martyr Marys. They look at everything I've done for you, and yet what kind of respect do I get? I have worked so hard on that committee, and nobody said thank you. Have y'all known about that? So this is the thanks I get. Y'all ever heard that? When you have children, I hope you treat them the way you have treated me. You ought to be ashamed. Y'all ever know anybody like that? How about the negative Neds or Nellies that say no, they never listen? We've never done it that way. You can't do it that way. We can't do it. You can't. And the worrier, I doing this. How many of you are worriers like I am? It works. Did y'all know that? Because everything I've ever worried about has never happened, so I know it works. The worrier says they'll probably go to the party the wrong day. Or we'll probably get the wrong address. Or they'll be always late or whatever. You know, we can always find what's bad. I think the hardest thing we do is become good finders. The Bible tells us how to become good finders. Now, remember this, that greater is he that is in you than is in the world, according to John 1:4. Let's don't say why. And a lot of times we do say, why God? Why God? Let's say, what can we do from what's happened to us? We don't know. A lot of times we'll never know why to a lot of questions. We were talking about that in the car coming over here this morning. There's a lot of things we don't know why to. But let's say, what can we learn from this? Because we can find the whats. We don't always know. Always find the whys. Now, there are 8 universal principles for getting along with difficult people. Principle 1 is be confident in who you are. Be confident. Van Gogh, his painting of the irises sold for $53.9 million. One painting. Do you know what made that painting so extraordinary? It was down there in the corner. It has his signature. Yesterday I told y'all that I gave you that green dot because that tell me that that is your label. Know who you are in Christ. In Christ. He says a lot about that. You know, we have the master's signature on us. Our Father is the one that has all the gold and silver in the world. He doesn't need us as much as we need him. Note, the confidence in who you are forms the basis for good self-esteem. When you're relating to a difficult person, remember that your worth does not depend upon that person's opinion of you. Your worth as a person comes as a gift from God. Number 2, don't allow yourself to overreact. We need to respond to life situations. Don't react. Do not react. Responding takes that long. Reacting takes that long. Have you ever said something you wish you hadn't said? And then you felt bad about saying it. I did that a couple of days ago. I said, I don't know why I had to. People don't always need our opinion. Have y'all ever thought about that? And yet we just want to tell everybody how we feel. Have y'all ever done that? And then you feel badly because you told it to them. Aren't we human? There was a mother. This is, I think, a perfect example of overreacting. A mother had 9 children. She had 5 under the age of school age. She gone to the grocery store, and one day she came back. And here was her 5 little babies. Out there on the porch, hovered around 2 little baby skunks. And she reacted. She said, run, 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 run. And guess what happened? Everybody came out stinking. Now, so many times we want to react rather than responding. If she'd gone over and said, now what do we have here? Let us let them alone. And, you know, there's a lot of things. But she probably washed that stink off for 3 months. I don't know. But anyway. Panicking or screaming and overreacting are not the way to handle skunks. Neither is the way to handle a difficult person. Ladies, don't ever scream. Nobody ever needs that. And if you're happy, you better notify your face. Principle 3 is refuse to play the difficult person's game. Jesus gave Judas his time and trust and poured his life and teaches into him. Added to this, he gave that disciple the same complete unconditional love he gave to the other chosen ones. Yet Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas was certainly a difficult person, yet knowing full well what Judas had done, Jesus showed love to Judas by washing his dirty feet, sharing food with him, and giving him an honored place at the table. Boy, if that's not an example, now isn't that a good role model for us to remember? Y'all, I'm not sure. I have to pray about that one. Jesus, who was in control of himself, refused to play Judas' kind of destructive game. Don't get in a stinking fight with a skunk. That's the everyday terminology. Because nobody wins. I know sometimes we want to scream and holler and kick. Well, get off by yourself and do it. I think you ought to tell your family for the next hour, I'm going to have a pity party. Do not look at me. Don't say anything to me. Because I'm going to stick my lip out and I'm going to spit and kick, chew. I'm going to do whatever I want to for the next hour. At least they know you're going to get over it. Just say, I'm going to do this for an hour, and I think they'd appreciate it. But you know what we do? We get up and say, this is going to be bad all day, and I'm going to snarl at everybody, and you do it all day long. I think, don't go through life having a pity party. Have it and get it over with. Say if you want to take a day or a week, but for goodness sakes, get over it. The other principle number 4 is when you need to confront, do it immediately. Don't let it hang on and hang on. Don't overreact now, but do it as immediately as you can. Think about it. Someone just said, I have to face my husband because my boy that is very, very bright has failed two courses. And I told her yesterday, I said, don't do it tonight because you need to be here tomorrow and you don't need to be confront tonight, but do it Saturday. Don't do it at bedtime either, folks. You need to do something about 4 p.m, so you'll have time. Because it says in the Bible, don't let the sun go down your wrath. So you need a while to work that through, okay? The worst thing we can do is bring something up at the table unpleasant. You should never bring up anything unpleasant at the table or at bedtime. That's the worst thing. No wonder people have indigestion. By facing up to the person, you forestall his taking charge. If you fail to do so immediately, then his behavior could overrule you. You have to make your position clear. I do this. When I have to confront someone, I write it down, the pros and cons. I write down what my feelings are. And then I look them straight in the face and I say, would you help me understand this situation? And you need to clean the air every once in a while with your family, your spouses, your friends. But you need to set up an atmosphere for doing that. You don't just go off. And if it's somebody that you know is going to get up and walk away, get them in a car to go somewhere with you. And you drive. And get them way out on the road so they can't walk, you know, get out and leave you. There's a book called Caring Enough to Confront. You might want to read it sometime. Number 5 is have realistic expectations in getting along with the difficult people. Wounded birds can't fly and hurting people can't give out much love. And you know what I think sometimes when people deserve love the most, they need it the most. Understand this and stop having unrealistic expectations. Face it, they're not capable of giving you what you need. By changing your expectations to more realistic ones, you can save yourself a lot of pain and rejection. Number 6, stop trying to change the difficult person. Quit trying to change them because you're not going to change them. James Stewart's classic book, The Life and Teachings of Jesus, says, Jesus' teachings, although they were Had you ever had a word you just could not say? Yes. And my teeth are in good. It was never in any overbearing sense or dogmatic or forcing assent. In other words, Jesus respected the right of the individual to make his own choices. Do yourself a big favor and avoid a lot of internal tension by accepting people as they are. I think sometimes mamas and school teachers want to tell everybody what to do. At Family Reunion, it used to be a joke that Martha and I alphabetized everybody because we were the two teachers. They said, don't worry about lining up for lunch. That Martha's going to, you know, and she'll make sure they're using correct English and standing straight and have their hands beside. You know, and she doesn't even know she does that. I am aware of it, and I've had to watch that. Another one is keep yourself from being the difficult person's slave. Keep yourself from being the difficult person's slave. Number 8 is let God lead you through your struggle with that difficult person. Sometimes, I want to tell you something. I hear people say, well, all I can do is pray. Please don't say that. To me, that's the number one thing you can do for me. Forget all the rest. Pray for me. If I know I have a special friend that I'm going to be praying for all day Tuesday, I'm going to start praying for her. I'm going to think about her and pray for her from now through next Tuesday. But on Tuesday, I'm going to pray for that friend in a special, special way. When we know when people are going through difficult times, the best thing you can do is pray for people. Pray for them by name. What do you do when someone in your life causes a big disturbance? In John 6:16-21, the disciples were caught in an uncontrollable storm, and just when the disciples needed him the most, he came walking on the troubled waters and calmed not on the waters, but the fears in their hearts. Someone said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. That means there's one for every day. And he said, it is I, be not afraid. In the midst of your disturbance, see Jesus and hear him say, it is I, be not afraid. Look up. Jesus stays up all night. You know, we have our Father, Jesus Christ, has all the answers. And sometimes he's the last person we go to. We'll go to people, total strangers that don't know from up if they have a mentality of a butterfly. And yet, we don't go to Jesus. My encouragement to you is get into a positive church, get in a positive Sunday school class where you're challenged. Learn to lean on Jesus. Do y'all remember that old hymn, leaning on Jesus? The other one of my favorite hymns is Trust and Obey. Sometimes we got to just trust and obey. And then my most favorite of all is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I think you ought to tithe. I think you ought to give your tithe to the church. And I think you ought to give more than that. Just depends on how much you want to be blessed. You can't outgive God. And He'll never fill a clenched hand. You got to give it and He'll refill it. I don't know why it works that way, but I know it works that way. The times in my life that I've had more peace and joy and contentment and can handle my problems is when I was going and doing church. I've always gone to church, but I'm not always tithe right. But when I started giving my tithe, I want to tell you something. You know what happened? You can't outgive God. I'm talking about peace and joy and all those things that we really want. Lean not onto our own understanding. You got to lean on the right thing. Have you got your ladder propped on the right building? Mine's propped on Jesus. Next, write something positive about the person that you are having trouble with and read it to them. Well, that won't challenge your heels. Treat people as you think they should be, not as they are. If you treat people as they are, they're going to stay like they are. So you need to treat people like they should be. Isn't it amazing how people start acting better? Learn to encourage, be a good finder. Learn to look at everything and say, hey, I like that. Tell people, compliment people. People all need that. I think this is the Amplified Bible. Never pay back evil for evil. This is in Romans 12. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest, clear through. Don't quarrel with anyone. Listen to this. Don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. Now, this gives us a little bit of, you know. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for He has said that He will repay those who deserve it. Revenge is mine, who? Saith the Lord. You all don't have to worry about revenge, okay? A lot of people say, I'm going to get you back. It's the last thing I ever do. That is wasted, wasted. Don't take the law into your own hands. Instead, feed your enemy if he's hungry. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and you will be heaping coals of fire on his head. In other words, he will feel ashamed of himself for what he has done to you. Don't let evil get the upper hand, but conquer evil by doing good. I could stand here and talk to you all day about this one, because this is something that I've done a lot of research, and I'm studying this. This is something that I'm just started studying, and I thought, you know, there's so many people that have so much trouble with difficult people, okay? I hope I've given you, not confused you too much, but the first thing is that you pray about everything in your life. Turn those people over to the Lord. If nothing else today, that you can go home and you say, I'm having trouble with this person, and write it down. There's something about writing things down that are very, very important. Y'all have been wonderful. I do have these here. I hope you got a newsletter. And I want to encourage you to use my materials in my newsletter. Let me show you one thing about this that I didn't get to cover. The new word for this decade is called change. Y'all ever heard that word change? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Fortune magazine calls it reengineering. The company, I call it, I'm reengineering the people. But really what we're saying, you got to change. Don't ever be in the situation you got to sit soaking sour. Okay, don't do that. I use this word on the front of my newsletter. I want you to underline it. But I say it means evaluating all areas and making changes that increase productivity for the organization or your person. You look at your situation. I want you to remember that I believe in you. Over here, do not complain about what you permit. That's the vitamin. Here is some of my engagements. The poem that we're using is Yes, Yes, Yes. And let me tell you something. I want you to use my materials. I think I told one of my small groups yesterday this. If you want to use something from this, the first time, give me credit. Say, Mamie McCullough said. The second time, you say, I heard a speaker say. And the third time you use it, you say, as I've always said. That's how you use my materials. Over here are some quotes from other people that you can take and put on the somewhere, because this helps you to become positive. Most wins are by small margins. Some of you were interested in my seminars in Branson and Dallas. One of the things that I'm doing for women is saying I'm doing some things on fashion as a look, not a price tag. I would love to be able to go and buy everything from head to toe, new and matching, but that's impossible. Everything I have on came from somewhere different. Everything I came on. This jacket was at the secondhand shop, and this came off the tail of my shirt. And and this came from Branson, Missouri, and this came from 7-Eleven. You know, it doesn't matter where things come from. Fashion is a look, not a price tag. And I've never had all the money in the world to just spend as much as I want to. And besides, things cost too much. So I like to shop at the secondhand shops, and I tell people how to do that. That's one of the things we do in seminars. And then here's my materials. My dress is on the back. There's a toll-free number. And when you're going through trials, I want to tell you what you can do. It's possible that you'll never get to talk to me. I'd like to. Sometime when people call and everybody's busy, I answer the phone, and everybody's just so surprised that I'm answering the phone. But I really know how to do that. And my staff said, don't do it because you'll overpromise. But I try not to. But I like to do it. I like to talk to people. But if you go through some trauma, you go through surgeries, some things that, you know, you're hurting so bad, I want you to know that I have a number that you can call. It's on my materials. And if you're, all you have to do is tell my staff that we want Mamie, and they pray for you, and I pray for you. I'm telling you, we do that. We take prayer, and to me, that's the best thing I can do for you. It's not the least. I think it's the best. Y'all have been wonderful, and I wish I could stay through the very end, but I really feel that Jennifer has done all this on her own. I have not been with her, and she had to have a, she's in a pageant, and they said last night she had her interview. She's never done it before. I've never let one of my children be in any kind of pageant, but this was a Christian pageant. And I said, are you sure y'all not going to have to wear bathing suits? Because I would not allow that. And I'm old-fashioned. I just don't want anybody looking at her like that. And so they said, they promised me, but they said last night, and I said this, I had to go home because she called and said, when I talked to the girl that's her companion, she said, well, she said tonight, I said, I just wish Mama could be here. And I guess, you know, I'm a real emotional person. And they said during our interview last night, they said, Jennifer, if your house was burning down and you had one thing to pick out, to take with you, what would you take with you? And this lady said, Jennifer smiled and said, well, I know it's not a thing, but I would want my mama. So I think my child needs me.